Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? From the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his father's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As I began to prepare for worship today, I read the four lectionary scriptures to choose one on which to base my message. I have prepared messages before, so I have a little experience in it. When I prepare, I like to use my laptop because it's easy to type as I go and also edit, and also to be able to do research using the internet. So I thought, why not start with the very basic idea of how do I write a sermon? So I put that into the Google search engine, and if I had read everything, all the entries that it gave me, I'd still be at the table, and you'd be eating lunch by now. Well, when you choose one scripture, as I have chosen to use today's gospel reading from John, it's amazing how you keep seeing the same thoughts in many places. I guess that's not really surprising, because at the core of this gospel reading is the message of love. In the gospel immediately preceding today's reading, this is the one that Kathleen preached with last week, Jesus was explaining to his disciples his relationship to the Father and to them as being like a vine with its many branches, and that God is the vine grower. And Jesus goes on to tell them that just as his Father has loved him, so Jesus loves them. The next sentence sounds like something that the disciples and even us have no control over. Now remain in my love. But Jesus isn't talking about a state of being. He's talking about doing. Jesus tells us that the way to remain in his love is by keeping his commands, just as he has kept the Father's commands, and that his command is to love one another. That's it, right there. He didn't give us a list of do's and don'ts. We already had that in the law that was handed down through Moses. It's not even a short checklist. It's just love one another. It's simple, and it's uncomplicated. However, it's not easy. Jesus had already identified the greatest commandment: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now, he was giving all of his disciples, and that includes us, the short recipe of how to remain in his love, and yet often we do look for easier ways. We look for shortcuts because we think we know how, and we think we know what he really meant. How many of you, at Thanksgiving time, you get those recipes that, like elementary school children, their teacher has asked them to tell her how you cook the Thanksgiving meal, and they have the recipe for turkey that's something like, turn the oven to 1,000 degrees, and bake it for 2 minutes? Well, that's somewhat the kind of recipe we have for loving people. Something like, I'm going to love only the people that I know, and that's only if they don't do something to tick me off. Or I'll love other people as long as I don't have to actually do anything I don't want to do. Well, not only does Jesus give us this easy recipe, love one another, he tells us why. His joy is complete, and he wants us to experience that joy too. And this is the way to do it. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, talks about that joy as freedom. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus also tells us that when we follow his commands, we're more than his disciples. We're his friends. We're to serve him, but we're no longer merely servants, because servants don't know the master's business. We do. Everything Jesus knows about God, he shared with us. What's more, we didn't choose Jesus. He chose us. A baby was born to a couple in Michigan, and they named him James Anthony. He was beautiful because all babies are beautiful. But there was something different about their baby boy, a difference that could have turned his life into a series of discussions about all the things he couldn't do. Instead, through their love and support, his life has held a list of accomplishments that many normal people couldn't claim. Somehow, they made him feel special and still treated him like every other kid. And when Jim became frustrated with the thing that made him different, they said, "This is something to be lived up to." The thing that set James Anthony Abbott apart from others was that instead of a right hand, he had the stub of a pinky finger at the end of his right arm. Some of you may recognize his name, Jim Abbott, even though he retired from Major League Baseball in 1999. Jim Abbott was a pitcher, and in fact pitched a no-hitter in 1993. And here's a description of his playing ability. When preparing to pitch the ball, Abbott would rest a right-handed thrower's glove on the end of his right forearm. After releasing the ball, he would quickly slip his hand into the glove, usually in time to field any balls that a two-handed pitcher would be able to field. Then he would remove the glove by securing it between his right forearm and torso, slip his hand out of the glove, and remove the ball from the glove, usually in time to throw out the runner and sometimes even start double plays. At all levels, teams tried to exploit his fielding disadvantage by repeatedly bunting to him. This tactic was never effective. Jim Abbott pitched for the California Angels, the White Sox, the Brewers, and the Yankees during his career. What sets him apart is not his pitching career or his disability. He was visibly imperfect, and others saw and identified with him. He began to receive letters from kids wanting to come to spring training camp and meet him. So they set up a schedule of 15 minutes a day. By the time the regular season had begun, the few letters had become dozens, and by the end of the season, the dozens had become hundreds. Jim Abbott and Tim Mead of the California Angels head office answered every one. As Jim Abbott said, "I knew how far a little boy or little girl could run with 50 words of reassurance." Here is his description of how a meeting would go with one of the families. "So I would find my glove and go into the dugout, where another family was waiting with another story. The parents would be appreciative, and their little boy would stare with wide, yearning eyes, and he would be missing an arm, so one sleeve of his baseball jersey would flop all over, and it wouldn't seem to bother him at all. "Hey," I'd say, "you play baseball?" "Yeah." "Show me how you do your glove." And the little boy would hoist this massive glove head high, waiting for an imaginary throw, determination spread across his face. "What position do you play?" "Pitcher, like you." "Ah, don't be a pitcher," I'd say. "Be a shortstop. They get to play every day." "All right, show me how you hold the bat." Jim Abbott knew that what the parents wanted to know was how he had made this difference work for him, how they could make it work for their child. He would ask them to see that amazing things could also happen for their child, because that was what his parents had done for him. So the most amazing part of Jim Abbott's life wasn't overcoming the lack of a right hand or that he became a Major League Baseball player. The amazing thing was that he took that love that his parents showed to him, the love that made a career as a baseball pitcher possible, and he showed it to other people, people who needed to know love and what love can do. We have an amazing God, a Father who created and loves us, a Savior who died to save our lives, and a Spirit who was sent to be with us always. God asks two things of us, to love Him and to love each other. And please don't ever tell yourself you have nothing to offer. Most of you have a bulletin in your possession this morning, so I want you to take that now. If you normally keep it anyway, that's great. If you're usually in the practice of throwing it away on your way out of the sanctuary, please keep it this morning. And now I'd like to take a moment now, look around you here and in all parts of your life, to think of someone who would benefit by your kind words. It might be a person who's a family member, and you can tell them how much you love them, or you can thank them for the meals they cook, or how they put gas in your car, or mow your lawn. Maybe you'd like to thank someone you don't see on a daily basis. Then write them a note and mail it. Or maybe you'd like to extend your thanks in some other way. I thought of perhaps you could promise yourself that when you drive in traffic, you would keep a smile on your face. Or when you're in the store and you're busy and things are hectic, be kind to all the people. Maybe let somebody in front of you in line. You don't have to thank people for something they've done for you. You could thank somebody because you think they have a beautiful smile, or because you really enjoy the flowers in their yard. So I won't tell you what to say or to whom to say it. But remember, Jesus said, "Remain in my love." This is how you do that. Love each other. All praise to God.